We've got a wonderful guest today with us, actually. One of my favorite companies, in fact, in aviation. I have Alan Schrader. He is the president and founder of Lightspeed Aviation, and he tells us that he spent 20 years talking to customers and figuring out what they like and don't like. And the result of all that talk? Well, he's learned to fly and to understand those customers even better. Welcome, Alan, to EAA Radio and Attitude Adjustment Hour. How are you doing?
Attitude Adjustment. Sometimes we need those. It's been a busy, busy week, but that's great. It's great to settle in, have a little spare time, and get a chance to talk with you, Amy.
Oh, that's wonderful. So, Alan, you came to aviation through technology, and you had a couple different technology companies. You dabbled in wireless for a while, and we'll get back to wireless because I think you've come full circle. And then you found active noise canceling and decided that you wanted to make an active noise canceling headset. And I think that's where Lightspeed Aviation grew out of. Is that right?
That's right. And there's sort of the serendipity of God and relationships that you build that end up being the ways that life's paths sometimes open up. And that's exactly what happened. I had made some contacts in business with somebody that became a friend, and he had access to this new technology called active noise reduction. This is back in the early 90s. And said, hey, you know, I wasn't in aviation at the time. I had been in and out of an aviation company, helped start something that was making communication products. He said, hey, you know the pilots, and you know how to design headsets, and this technology is really cool and should have a real impact in that market. What if we get together and try to make a headset? So I said, all right. I was dumb enough to say, sure, let's give it a try.
Excellent, excellent. So you made these headsets. I used to really love the progression of Lightspeed headsets. They at first they were kind of clunky, but you were looking for something that was very comfortable, and you were working on the compression, you were working on a lot of different things, but you had this great trade up, and that customer service thing has always been so strong in Lightspeed Aviation.
Yeah, well, thank you. No, I think it was a progression. When we first came out with our headset, actually 21 Oshkoshes ago, it was here in 1996. We were in the hot and humid South Hangar, and we introduced our first product, the 20K. It was really a very good active canceling headset. We had done a variety of things to innovate on comfort and battery life and a lot of other things. But I can tell you that over the years, as we started making thousands and then tens of thousands of them and continuing to evolve our product line, there were elements of that design that had issues with reliability. We learned a lot about better and better design techniques and more reliable products. And so it was really at the core of that that I said, hey, as we get smarter, and we're doing that really on the backs of our early customers, we have to care for them in exceptional ways. And so we began to basically fix any headset, any old headset that we could fix, and for free. And we sort of had a policy that said, you know, we'll fix it till we can't. And then once you get to the we can't part, then what's the right thing to do? And my conclusion was that we give people a trade-up program where we give them at least half of what they paid for the headset 5-10 years ago back, because the truth is we were Lightspeed who in 1996. And these people, some of you are probably listening in on this, had enough faith in us and me in what we said we'd do.
I don't know anybody that gives a trade-in on anything these days.
Yeah. Yeah, well, again, for me, it was motivated first by the fact that we sort of owed it to folks, the early people. They had a lot of issues, and we owed them a better product. I mean, we gave them a good product, but we owed them a better product. And then once we said, listen, we're really not going to charge folks for repairs, and we did that for a long time. We just modified that recently. But then, well, what, does that mean you repair it forever? Well, no. I mean, it only had a 3-year warranty. We're now at year 10, right? And so, but now I can't repair, right? That model is so old, I don't have the stuff for it. But but I want to honor your investment in our company because you helped get it started in some small little crowdsourcing way, I guess. Not really. That concept wasn't there. So how about I give you back half of the money you paid and invest it in a new, better headset? Because by then, we're two generations, three generations ahead of the last ones. And really, now we really have a good headset.
No, you do. And you got loyal customers out of that. And
yeah.
That was the thing. People were willing to go along and say, okay, yeah, I'll upgrade. And that's a good thing.
But how do you, you know, you just mentioned that, you know, you have the generations of headsets ahead of where you were when you started. Do you see a point at which you say, boy, we just can't make this thing any better?
Well, I think you never want to say that, but I think the incremental changes in the key indices, what I call quiet comfort and functionality, there was a lot of room for improvement in the 90s and then through the 2000s. But as everything you make is really a whole step function better than the stuff before, at some point you start bumping near a ceiling of that. And I think we're very near that ceiling with quieting. We make really quiet headsets. A few other companies do too. But making it some more quiet, while you can probably show that, and people can maybe hear that, it's already so quiet that the some more quiet just isn't worth a great deal to have a little more quiet.
But you're doing some other things. You have a wireless headset.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, we have this innovation history. I think the Tango product is our eighth model of headset, eight or nine in the 20 years. So we've been doing a lot with improving the platform. We had an in-the-ear product, and but to your point, we've sort of, some of the indices are getting near the top. And so how else do you change the paradigm of the youth model? And for us, that became a wireless headset. Because there's were a lot of people who have asked us over time about wireless. Wireless communications become more and more ubiquitous in our lives. And so we said, well, let's take that challenge on and be the first to make such a thing. And so that really has been our latest innovation.
Yeah, and I've had a chance to play with it. It's really kind of interesting not to get tangled up, particularly in my Kit Fox, for instance, which you're already kind of climbing into and putting on, in a sense, not to have the headset wire being part of what you have to get out of the way so that you can get your leg in there and... You know what I mean? And then you were telling me the other day about helicopter pilots.
Right, exactly. It was, I mean, that's what I learned to fly a couple of years ago. And, you know, in the helicopter, typically the plugs are up sort of behind you and in the center. And so I sort of roll that down under my left arm because you want to keep it away from the collective. And that's just the way I learned. And it's not, there wasn't anything to me. But the first time I went in there with a Tango, I just sort of noticed, wow. I mean, I didn't go in thinking that I had a problem with the cord, but not having the cord was immediately recognizable.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, one other thing I wanted to ask, what about weight? How has the weight changed from way back in the old days of a regular headset to, let's just say, compare apples and apples, what is considered a regular headset
right
now?
So the early active noise headsets were in the low 20-ounce range. And then they shrunk down into the low teens and even into the 12 and 13 ounce range. Passive headsets also went from more like 16 or 18 down to 13.4, in fact, from a David Clark company. So everybody's tried to keep the weights down in the 13, 14, 15 ounce range. And that's been a very comfortable thing. That you've got about a 2 ounce premium with Tango because you had to take everything you had in the cord, all the batteries and everything else, plus the electronics for wireless, and put them up in the headset. But it really wears pretty comfortably. Amy, you had a chance to wear it.
Yeah, it does. I have the advantage of actually having a set of Sierras, which is their midline ANR, and I've been able to fly up here with the Tango on one side and the Sierras on the other, and we switch legs. We're typical captain, co-captain kind of deal. So I've had the chance to really compare them. And the ANR in the Tango is definitely better than the ANR in the Sierras. But those headsets are already 4 years old. But the big thing that I noticed was that even though the Tango's a smidgen heavier, it felt lighter and it was better with the glasses than the Sierra. It was more comfortable, period.
And that's always been an interest or an issue for me too. Or you know, when you wear glasses and you've got something that's doing this, and it's well, people can't see on radio, but I'm squeezing my ears together here because of the pressure. But.
Well, it's always a challenge to figure out the clamping versus the cushioning versus the passive. I know that. And your engineers have been very kind to explain it to me lots of times.
Yeah, there's
I
been a big transition in air seals from even the 80s to now. Materials used back then as standard are no longer really seen or used, and a lot of improvements in comfort.
Yeah, most definitely. And it's all more comfortable than the original. I still have my original headset from 1986. It's been redone once.
A green one?
It's a green one. And they're in the kit box, and they have dynamic mics.
Oh, really? Okay.
But they won't die. God bless them. They're absolutely indestructible. And I wear socks on them. I have two cutoff socks as the ear covers.
Cloth covers.
Well, just yes, it's a little rough.
A shameless pitch, Amy, that those are worth $200 in trade towards a Tango or a Zulu. So, at some point they don't have to die. You could just shuffle them over. But
that's
no, it's
probably
fine.
True. I think it's an emotional attachment at this point. It's been so long. Yeah.
So does she get a better trade-in if she takes the socks off?
I think we've tried to preserve a certain je ne sais quoi by putting the socks on, quite frankly.
Okay.
Maybe we need to see those socks. You can't see the socks over the radio either.
You can't see the socks over the radio either. That is absolutely true. Alan, another reason I like Lightspeed Aviation is that you guys are incredibly generous. Since 2010, you've had a foundation and you've been giving back to aviation. I know that you've done a lot of cool things in the past. I know you have great things planned in the future for the foundation, but I just wanted people to understand that your company goes both ways. You know, you're part of the vendor side of things, but you've also got this giving side.
Yeah, well, thank you. No, I think you've got to contribute to the health and well-being of the community you serve in, and whether that's volunteering at home doing things in your community, that's fine. But the aviation community is one we serve, and it's got a lot of needs, and so I'm pretty committed to that.
Yeah, I understand that. I think it's a great thing, and I'm really looking forward to what you do next year with it. I know it's going to continue into the future in some very creative ways. Alan, where can we find you on the field here at AirVenture 2016?
Well, thanks. Yes, we're located in a nice big tent right outside of Hangar B. So, the hangar layout of A, B, C, and D, and we're the very first tent, very visible, right outside the main opening to Hangar B.
Where can they find you online as well for our online listeners?
Lightspeedaviation.com. Very straightforward. So, come join us there, but join us in person if you can.
That would be fabulous. Alan Schrader, president of Lightspeed Aviation, thank you so much for taking the time to come by EAA Radio. That's 96.5 FM and 1210 AM.